This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Barbara Wedge, Richmond, Virginia. Introduction from Mother Goose in Prose by L. Frank Baum. None of us, whether children or adults, needs an introduction to Mother Goose. Those things which are earliest impressed upon our minds cling to them most tenaciously. The snatches sung in the nursery are never forgotten, nor are they ever recalled without bringing back with them myriads of slumbering feelings and half-forgotten images. We hear the sweet, low voice of the mother singing soft lullabies to her darling, and see the kindly, wrinkled face of the grandmother as she croons the old ditties to quiet our restless spirits. One generation is linked to another by the everlasting spirit of song. The ballads of the nursery follow us from childhood to old age, and they are readily brought from memory's recesses at any time to amuse our children or our grandchildren. The collection of jingles we know and love as the melodies of Mother Goose are evidently drawn from a variety of sources. While they are, taken altogether, a happy union of rhyme, wit, pathos, satire, and sentiment, the research after the author of each individual verse would indeed be hopeless. It would be folly to suppose them all the composition of uneducated old nurses, for many of them contain much reflection, wit, and melody. It is said that Shelley wrote Pussycat Mew, and Dean Swift, Little Bo Peep, and these assertions are as difficult to disprove as to prove. Some of the older verses, however, are doubtless offshoots from ancient folklore songs and have descended to us through many centuries. The connection of Mother Goose with the rhymes which bear her name is difficult to determine, and, in fact, three countries claim her for their own: France, England, and America. About the year 1650, there appeared in circulation in London a small book named Rhymes of the Nursery, or Lullabies for Children, which contained many of the identical pieces that have been handed down to us, but the name of Mother Goose was evidently not then known. In this edition were the rhymes of Little Jack Homer, Old King Cole, Mistress Mary, Sing a Song of Sixpence, and Little Boy Blue. In 1697, Charles Perrault published in France a book of children's tales entitled Conte de la Mère, and this is really the first time we find authentic record of the use of the name of Mother Goose, although Perrault's tales differ materially from those we now know under this title. They comprised The Sleeping Beauty, The Fairy, Little Red Riding Hood, Bluebeard, Puss in Boots, Riquet with the Tuft, Cinderella, and Little Thumb, eight stories in all. On the cover of the book was depicted an old lady holding in her hand a distaff and surrounded by a group of children listening eagerly. Mr. Andrew Lang has edited a beautiful English edition of this work, Oxford, 1888. America bases her claim to Mother Goose upon the following statement, made by the late John Fleet Elliott, a descendant of Thomas Fleet, the printer. At the beginning of the 18th century, there lived in Boston a lady named Eliza Goose, written also Vergoose and Vertigoose, who belonged to a wealthy family. Her eldest daughter, Elizabeth Goose, or Vertigoose, was married by Reverend Cotton Mather in 1715 to an enterprising and industrious printer named Thomas Fleet, and in due time gave birth to a son. Like most mothers-in-law in our day, the importance of Mrs. Goose increased with the appearance of her grandchild, and poor Mr. Fleet, half distracted with her endless nursery ditties, finding all other means fail, tried what ridicule could effect, and actually printed a book under the title Songs of the Nursery, or Mother Goose's Melodies for Children. On the title page was the picture of a goose with a very long neck and a mouth wide open, and below this, printed by T. Fleet at his printing house in Pudding Lane, 1719. Price, 2 coppers. Mr. William A. Wheeler, the editor of Hurd and Houghton's elaborate edition of Mother Goose, 1870, reiterated this assertion, and the writer in the Boston Transcript of June 17, 1864 says, Fleet's book was partly a reprint of an English collection of songs, Barclay's, and the new title was doubtless a compliment by the printer to his mother-in-law Goose for her contributions. She was the mother of 16 children and a typical old woman who lived in a shoe. We may take it to be true that Fleet's wife was of the Verguse family and that the name was often contracted to Goose, but the rest of the story is unsupported by any evidence whatever. In fact, all that Mr. Elliot knew of it was the statement of the late Edward A. Cronenshield of Boston that he had seen Fleet's edition in the library of the American Antiquarian Society. Repeated researches at Worcester having failed to bring to light the supposed copy, and no record of it appearing on any catalog there, we may dismiss the entire story with the supposition that Mr. Elliot misunderstood the remarks made to him. Indeed, as Mr. William H. Whitmore points out in his clever monograph upon Mother Goose, Albany, 1889, it is very doubtful whether in 1719 a Boston printer would have been allowed to publish such trivial rhymes. Boston children at that date, says Mr. Whitmore, were fed upon gospel food, and it seems extremely improbable that an edition could have been sold. Singularly enough, England's claim to this venerable old lady is of about the same date as Boston's. There lived in a town in Sussex, about the year 1704, an old woman named Martha Gooch. She was a capital nurse and in great demand to care for newly born babies. Therefore, through long years of service as nurse, she came to be called Mother Gooch. This good woman had one peculiarity. She was accustomed to croon queer rhymes and jingles over the cradles of her charges, and these rhymes seemed so senseless and silly to the people who overheard them that they began to call her Mother Goose, in derision, the term being derived from Queen Goosefoot, the mother of Charlemagne. The old nurse paid no attention to her critics, but continued to sing her rhymes as before, for, however much grown people might laugh at her, the children seemed to enjoy them very much, and not one of them was too peevish to be quieted and soothed by her verses. At one time, Mr. Scooch was nursing a child of Mr. Ronald Barclay, a physician residing in the town, and he noticed the rhymes she sang and became interested in them. In time, he wrote them all down and made a book of them, which it is said was printed by John Worthington and Son in the Strand, London, in 1712, under the name of Ye Melodious Rhymes of Mother Goose. But even this story of Martha Gooch is based upon very meager and unsatisfactory evidence. The earliest English edition of Mother Goose's melodies that is absolutely authentic was issued by John Newbery of London about the year 1760, and the first authentic American edition was a reprint of Newbery's made by Isaiah Thomas of Worcester, Massachusetts, in 1785. None of the earlier editions, however, contained all the rhymes so well known at the present day, since every decade has added its quota to the mass of jingles attributed to Mother Goose. Some of the earlier verses have become entirely obsolete, and it is well they have, for many were crude and silly, and others were coarse. It is simply a result of the greater refinement of modern civilization that they have been relegated to oblivion, while the real gems of the collection will doubtless live and grow in popular favor for many ages. While I have taken some pains to record the various claims to the origin of Mother Goose, it does not matter in the least whether she was in reality a myth, or a living Eliza Goose, Martha Gooch, or the Mère Oye of Perrault. The songs that cluster around her name are what we love, and each individual verse appeals more to the childish mind than does Mother Goose herself. Many of these nursery rhymes are complete tales in themselves, telling their story tersely but completely. There are others which are but bare suggestions, leaving the imagination to weave in the details of the story. Perhaps therein may lie part of their charm. But however that may be, I have thought the children might like the stories told at greater length, that they may dwell the longer upon their favorite heroes and heroines. For that reason, I have written this book. In making the stories, I have followed mainly the suggestions of the rhymes, and my hope is that the little ones will like them, and not find that they interfere with the fanciful creations of their own imaginations. L. Frank Baum, Chicago, Illinois, September 1897. End of the introduction.